among the threats.
Yeah, brother.
Sure.
I just want to say, so a couple days ago, my mom left. She's in Missouri, and she's been having some dementia. She left the house at about 4 something in the morning. It's pitch dark. It was sleeping down. She walked to the county line there, which is several miles away. And I just thank the Lord that, you know, he's actually using this, but a couple things. I thank the Lord that he kept her safe. And she didn't get hurt. She didn't get injured. And brought her through that. And I talked to her today. She called me. She sounds great. Praise God. So, yeah, I just thank the Lord for his name.
Amen. Thank God for that. Isn't God good to us? Amen. He just blesses us. Sent his son to die on the cross for us, and then he takes care of us daily. Amen. We thank him when we see things that could have happened to us, but there's so many things that he protects us from that we don't even know of. We're not even aware. And we thank God for him keeping us safe. Sister Susan was talking about the traffic, and I pray that everybody else will learn to drive like I do. And it hasn't reached that point yet. But just on the way to church, two or three different things, and it falls hand in hand to what the Lord laid upon my heart tonight. And I'll share that with you in just a little bit later, because how many knows that we need to be Christ-like? Amen. And man, is it hard when somebody cuts you off, pulls out in front of you. But maybe they're in a bigger hurry. Maybe they were more excited to go to church than I was. Maybe they jumped out in front of me. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt anyway. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. In the 7th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, we're leaving our little study of Abraham momentarily. I've been enthralled into the book of Genesis and Abraham and what, and I'm not going to try to rehash what we've been talking about, but we may go back to that at some point in time, because that's where I've been spending most of my time, reading about the faith of Abraham. And at a point in his life, Susan, it was he was past 60 when God began to really use him. You're just getting into it, girl. I mean, you're just growing up in the Lord, and just giving more opportunity for God to use you, because in those 59 years, you'll be amazed at all of the wisdom that you have been able to amass, and now you're at a point in your life you can share that with others and be a great leader. That make you feel any better? Amen. Praise God. All right. From the book of St. Matthew, we're going tonight. We're going to kind of change gears, switch gears a little bit, and go into what the Lord had laid upon my heart tonight. In the 7th chapter, I want to read verses 7 and 8, and we may go back and pick up some of the other verses. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. Again, St. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask. Everybody say, ask. And it shall be given you. Seek. Everybody say, seek.
Seek.
And you shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and grateful, God, for those who have gathered here tonight, God, for the purpose of worshiping and praising you. God, you're so great. You're so mighty, Lord. We could never praise you enough. We look forward to eternity when we will thank you forever and ever and ever. But Father, I pray, God, that you would continue to answer the prayers, God, the needs, the sicknesses, the afflictions, God. There's so many. Pray, God, that you would touch our nation and its people. Father, I ask tonight, God, that you just pour out your spirit upon this group of people here tonight. God, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. God, that we'll just let that spirit, that spirit just kind of overshadow us tonight, God, that we'll be able to comprehend what you would have us to hear, that we'll be obedient unto your word, and we'll be careful, Lord, give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. I may walk around. Amen. Praise God. That's one thing we can't do enough of, is praise the Lord. Amen. For his goodness, his mercy. I like what Brother Terry prays. He said, Lord, thank you for that you've already done and for that you're going to do. Amen. That's faith, and we need to learn to live by faith. Tonight I want to speak to us just a little bit maybe in more of a Bible study frame of mind, more other than preaching. And you know what? I'm going to quit saying that, because usually when I say that, I end up just preaching. So it's hard for a preacher to teach. Amen. I've said that time and time again. That's the reason I don't do Sunday school class anymore, because nobody ever gets a chance to say a word when I do it. So I've learned that. But tonight, if I had a topic, it would be teaching with authority. Teaching with authority. How many knows that teaching is a very vital component in our life today? And it's not just up to the teachers at school. They have our children for just a little while, and we have them the rest of the time. And we need to be constantly teaching them and rearing them, hopefully in the fear and admonition of God and about His Word. And we find here, we go back to the very beginning of this chapter, we find that Jesus has a congregation around Him, and He takes this opportunity to begin to teach them. And I was somewhat taken back by the topic and the subject matter that Jesus is teaching. Not only is He teaching the obedience to God and the recognition that there is a deity that we can ask and have our petitions before God as we worship Him and ask in faith, but He's also teaching practical application in life. Man, and how many knows that if we are Spirit-filled, it will overflow into our practical application in life? Man, we ought to be the courteous drivers, if we use that as an example. We ought to be the courteous people in line. We ought to be the people that gives the benefit of the doubt. We ought to be the people that has compassion and reach out to others. And we ought to be that shining example. How many knows what a sandwich billboard? Right now they got them on every corner where they'd have the one billboard that they flip. You know, they do that way. Flip, and you know what that's to make you look. I mean, it's not really to watch the guy dance, it's to see what that sign said. But in older days, they had the guy that would walk up and down the street, you know, with the front and back, you know, eat at Joe's place or whatever. You know, think about that in our walk and our service with God. We don't have a physical billboard or a sign about us, but we still ought to be advertising for Jesus everywhere that we go, with our actions, with our words, and certainly with our love and compassion on others. So this is what Jesus is taking an opportunity to teach. And in verse number 1, He says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again." In other words, what you administer, you will receive. If you have compassion on others, you will receive compassion. If you're harsh and judgmental with others, that's going to come back to you. And understand, this is great, wonderful, practical application in our life. It's almost like He is teaching a group of Christians who already have been saved, who already been filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and who are walking in the fear and admonition of God, but also learning how to put that salvation and that love of God and that Christian attitude into practical application, treating one another with love. And then He says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye?" In other words, the little speck that you see, the failures, the frailties, the things that are wrong in your brother's eye, you're quick to point that out, when in your own life there's things that are probably bigger than that. So He's teaching about that. And then He says, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite." Very harsh words here from Jesus. "First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Then he says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Then we get into the night's two scriptures. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Now I want you to focus your attention on the very last scripture in chapter number 7. After all of these other life applications and things that the Lord is teaching, and they're really, really wonderful, and time would not allow us to go into each and every one of those tonight, but I want you to look at verse number 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught them with feeling. He taught them with authority. They recognized something about Jesus that caused them to be very attentive, amen, and very appreciative to what he was teaching. Now I want to go back to verse number 7 and verse number 8. We hear, and we find out too, because he says, basically, he's talking about in verse number 10, or 9, 10, and 11, about asking a fish and receiving a serpent, or asking for bread and his father giving him a stone. And then in verse number 11, he says something very, very important. He says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So he's talking about us knowing how to give good gifts, knowing the persistency of our children, and knowing when they come to us that we're not going to give them anything harmful. We're not going to give them anything that will jeopardize their life or whatever, but we're going to give them good gifts as long as we have that ability to give. But he says, you'll give them what basically whatever you're able to, but how much more does the Father have to give us? And I know he's talking about blessings and anointing and asking and petitioning unto God, but I believe there's also an ulterior subject matter. Not subject matter, but an ulterior point of interest that he's talking about too. Because up to this point, just about everything that he's been talking about affects someone in their, again, their application of their spirituality, their application of their goodness and the meekness, and how that we can shed that and share that with others. And then at this point, he talks about asking. And here's the thing about it. When I began to read that, and I read back over that, and I've heard that for so long, and I've heard messages, great messages preached on that, and how that we need to have the persistency to not give up when we're asking of God, and how that we understand that there's times that when we really have to seek for God's guidance, and there's sometimes we really have to knock. And I thought about the definitions of these words. First of all, ask, I think that's pretty apparent to all of us. It's to make a request or something of someone. How many knows that children are really, really good at asking? Very, very good at asking. You know, and the reason, and I think sometimes they know they're not going to get what they're asking for. But sometimes they're persistent. Now, don't raise your hand, but if you ever give your kids something just to get them to shut up? You want to raise your hand, don't you? We're all guilty of that at some time. You know, why? Because they're so persistent. They get you in a situation where a bunch of people in the store or something, you don't want to be embarrassed. You just, here, get it then, you know. And that's the persistence of asking. But, and I want to get to a point here in just a minute. Then it says seek. Seek is to try to find or obtain. Now, there's a very common thread about these three things that Jesus is telling this congregation or this group of people. And I want to see if I can tie those together. And then knock means to make a sudden impact on. We think about knocking on a door, but you also think about knocking down this or knocking down an obstacle in your way. So all three of those particular requests that Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, requires effort. And we don't like effort. Well, I'll say amen. By and large, we take the easiest route out. Convenience. How many knows it's about convenience? Man, I'm not going to pull in there and wait on that car to get gas. I'm going to go down to the next service station. Again, don't raise your hand. Or, you know, the drive-thru. I've learned a secret. Sometimes you can park and actually go in and get your food and be back in the car and go around, and they're still trying to get around through the convenience of the drive-thru. But you have to make an effort to do that. You have to get out of the car when it's raining or when you're not dressed like you thought you needed to be to go in. But I found that fewer and fewer people are taking advantage of actually going in. Now, you know, we just had a Christmas season, and you know that the online shopping reached an all-time high. Because you can sit at home in your PJs and get on the computer and order stuff. I know, my wife did that. I said, what if it ain't what you want? She said, send it back.
I said, I'd rather go to the store and look at it. I'd rather go to the store and pick it up. I'd rather feel it and know that. But that's just her. But all three of these things require an effort. And that's what the Lord was talking about. And I said, Lord, you know, that applies to us as Christians. We've been blessed. Amen. God answers prayers. Amen. God heals us when we're sick. God opens doors when we need doors opened. But we have gotten so spoiled, spiritually spoiled, by the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the blessings of God that sometimes we don't want to tarry. Jesus said, go to the upper room or go back to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued from power from on high. That lets me to know that probably when they walked in that door, they wasn't going to be all in one mind and one accord. Why, I thought, do we have sometimes the greatest outpouring of the service at the end of the service? Because we've tarried. We've come in and our minds may be on a number of different ways directions, but through the songs of praise and worship, the testimonies of God's divine healing and His miraculous blessings and anointing, the powerful word that goes forth, whoever brings it, amen. It's not who brings it, it's what they bring, amen. It's the word of God. Then we get in one mind and one accord, and then we have a prayer line, and then we pray for one another. And just when we get really, really in one mind and one accord, we'll say, praise God, it's time to go home. Man, because we don't really want to put forth the effort. So I thought about all of that, and I thought about my asking. And I'm not saying that you got to beg God. But so many times we ask the will of God, and if it's not what we want to hear, we just quit asking Him. We just kind of put it out of our mind. Well, God didn't want me to have that, no way. I guess it wasn't His will. And really, maybe God wants to see how persistent we are. How bad do we really, really want it? It puts forth that effort to request something of God. You know, I've often said, when I have a personal need, it is not very difficult for me to really get and pray an earnest prayer. But again, when I'm just kind of half-heartedly want something, or kind of just, it's okay if it happens, if it don't, it's just kind of a, Lord, just have your will. Whatever. Not really persistent in that prayer. Not really asking. Not really asking with an expectation. The Bible says ask believing. We need to believe what we ask for. And He's telling them here, you know, your Father, how much more can He give you? How much more is He able to give you? If we ask believing, and if we ask with persistency, and if we put forth that effort to really, really make a request unto the Lord and believe that God is able to do it. And I thought about, too, the seeking. You know, we don't want to take it to that next step. Because seeking the Lord requires maybe sometimes reading His Word, prayer, fasting, meditating on the Word of God, seeking His will rather than our will. I know we live in a hectic schedule. I know we're all pretty much maxed out with our time. So needless to say, we don't really have a lot of opportunity or a time schedule to set aside so that we can really, really seek the will of God in our life. Jesus is bearing these things out. And then He says, knock. Knock is to make a sudden impact. When's the last time we really knocked on the altar? Not physically, but really put everything else aside. You know, if we're praying and we're already thinking about what we're going to do when we get up from our prayer, I'm wondering if we really, really give God our divine or our entire intention or attention. I wonder if we really was really, you know, thinking about the will of God rather than just, it's a duty, I need to get my prayer done and then going about my business. And Jesus said, ask. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Glory to God. That puts a brand new light on it. Because ask usually means singular. We ask one time, if it don't happen, well, whatever. But to continue asking the Lord, asking Him. And I'm not talking about asking Him to give you everything you want. I mean, we know better than that. He gives us our heart's desire, but if we're living like we're supposed to be and we're close to God, our heart's desire ought to be one and the same with Him. Amen. We ought to be more like Him and ask what is good for us spiritually rather than what's good for us financially or materialistically. Because I believe with all of my heart. I just shared that with somebody this week. When God becomes the focal point of your life, when you truly seek Him first, these other things will fall into place. But we're in a civilization, we're in a society where we want everything else to fall into place, and then we find God. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because that means we put our faith and trust in everything else and not in God. If we'll seek first the God and His kingdom, then these other things will fall into place like God wants them to. So again, to ask, to seek, to knock means to keep asking the will of God. And I thought about that in God's will in our life. Because sometimes we ask and the response is not what we want to hear. It was the correct response because it was from God. But it wasn't the response that we wanted to hear. So we kind of, you know, shook that off a little bit and said, well, Lord, you know, Lord, I just don't think that's what You want me to do. I'm guilty of that myself. Because when I asked Him His will and He showed me His will, I said, that can't be right. That's just not right. You know, Lord, You got the wrong person. You know, you're not sure who You're talking to. But He is. He is. And we need to keep asking. We need to keep seeking. We need to keep knocking and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it? And here's the thing about it. Again, I want to read it. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeks. Listen to this. Listen to the words of this. Words mean something. For everyone that asketh, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Again, for everyone that keeps asking, receives. For everyone that keeps seeking, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen. You men that are sitting here tonight, when you were single, don't shout, and you were asking that lovely girl out. Maybe you weren't. Maybe it only applied to me. I got turned down. No. Can't make it. So my first thing, she hates me. I don't know what it is, but she hates me. But if you keep asking, you might find out that she had other plans that maybe she wants you to ask again. I know you girls are. If I go out the first time, he just think I'm too easy. You know, I want him to ask again. I know what you really want. You want him on his knees. Begging you to go out with me. But you keep asking. And you keep asking. and then finally, it does happen. And how many have lost something on the house and first place you look, you give up? No, you keep looking. You keep looking. Isn't it strange? It's right where you put it. You ever thought about that? It's exactly where you put it. But what have you done said? Somebody's done thrown it away. Somebody done stole it. And I don't know who in the house would steal it, but it's gone. And when you find it, is it exactly where you put it? And then you don't tell anybody that, you know. Oh, and you just keep knocking, keep knocking. I mean, has ever sold things house to house? Every light in the house is on, the television's on. Nobody's answering the door. And I said all that to say this. How many times have we given up on prayer? How many times have we given up on seeking the will of God? How many times have we given up on knocking the threshold of God, saying, God, I need You. I can't make it without You. God, I've done everything that I can do, and it's all a big mess, God. And I got You just keep knocking at the door. Lord, help me, please. Lord, nobody else can do this but You. God, please open the door. Persistent prayer. and seeking. I was reading about the Wright brothers. You know them, don't you? They're never wrong. They're always right. Wilbur and Orville. Now, Wilbur and Orville did not give up the first time that they constructed a glider. And it only stayed up just a few seconds. And Wilbur almost got hurt. You know how Wilbur got the first one to fly the glider? Him and Orville flipped a coin. He lost. No, he actually won. He flipped it. But you know what? They went back to the drawing board. I'll tell you another thing about Wilbur and Orville Wright. They were able to look at past failures. Now listen to me. And they did not judge those people that tried to build those flying machines before they did. They learned from them. They went back and said, you know what, if we constructed this a little bit different, and I'm not an aviator, and I don't know the terms and all, but I was amazed by reading about it, because it said these other people who failed gave up. That'll kill you. You get up in there and you can't stay, and that's a long way down. So they said, it's impossible. Man wasn't meant to fly. So they gave up. But not Wilbur and not Orville. They said, it can be done. It can be done. But the first several times that they did it, it was a failure. And I thought about that. Lord, how many times have we failed and we just quit? Well, I can't do this. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't knock on doors. I can't witness. I can't testify. So we just quit. Rather than being persistent and doing it again and again and again and again. And you know what? Nobody remembers the failures of the Wright brothers. They remember the success. Ask any student who's responsible for the flight. It's Wilbur. And Orville Wright, so much so that North Carolina made a statue for him, because that's where Kitty Hawk was. And then Pennsylvania was their hometown. And they'll still tell you to this day, Wilbur and Orville, they don't talk about the many times they fail. They don't talk about the time that Wilbur almost got hurt when he couldn't keep the glider up. But they went back and they kept on keeping on. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Alexander Graham Bell. He didn't make the telephone work the first time he put those wires and all together, but he kept trying, he kept trying, he kept trying. And let me tell you something else remarkable about Alexander Graham Bell. Sometimes we're a one and done society. Well, I did that one thing, you know. Not Alexander Graham Bell. Look him up. See what all he invented. The many different things that he did. He wasn't satisfied with just one success. He kept doing it again and again. Would that apply to a Christian? Not satisfied with just winning one soul to the Lord, but maybe I can go out and win somebody else. Maybe I can go out and have an effect on the people that I work with. Maybe I can give somebody the benefit of the doubt, and when they've had a hard day, and rather than me and being judgmental to them, I'll be helpful to them, and I'll just say, you know what, have a blessed day. You look like you're a little stressed today, and I just want to let you know I'm just going to pray that things will get better. Another success and another success. But you got to keep asking. You got to keep seeking. And you got to keep knocking. Thomas Edison. He didn't walk out there and flip that light on. I did that today. I went to my closet, turned the switch on, nothing. You ever done that in your prayer life? Lord, I'm in my prayer closet now. Turn that switch on. Man, I just don't feel like praying today. I turned on that closet light, nothing. So, you know, I'm thinking, new fixture. Get a new fixture, put it on, make sure everything. Nothing. That's a new fixture. Could it be the switch? I had a Thomas Edison moment. Ding! So I go back, and I take the little face off, and I begin to, and Penny says, wait a minute, let me turn the electricity off. Good idea. Good idea. So I said, never mind, here's what it is. The little thing was loose. I tightened it up, flipped the switch, light came on, just like it's supposed to be. You know what I could have done? Nothing. got somebody else to do that. That light of that thing don't work. But persistence paid off. And I'm not an electrician, folks. I'll mess up more than I'll ever fix. But if you keep looking, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. What do they say about a blind squirrel? I didn't mean that, so brother, I'm sorry. Even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while. Why? Because he keeps rooting around until he finally gets one. Amen. But again, Jesus has said, if you ask, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Understand, ask with persistency. Ask with faith. Let him not ask as a person with wavering faith, because he won't get anything. But you got to ask believing. And you got to seek, understanding, and know that you're going to find. Find what? Find God's will. That's the most important thing that we can do. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And here's the thing. When they was listening to this, it was like, maybe they had heard these things before, but they'd never heard them by the authority that Jesus was teaching them. Man, I mean, imagine Jesus telling these words to us. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. And he says, judge not, lest you be judged. And all these wonderful other things. We're just hitting just a few of the highlights tonight. But it's so wonderful. Some call it the Sermon on the Mount or whatever. But it was a great teaching that Jesus used. And what was so impressive to me was not only because it was spiritual and it was doctrinal and it was giving honor and praise to the Father, but it was also practical application. I mean, knows we're living in a world and sometimes we have to have practical application. And as long as it's Spirit-led, amen, we make the right decisions when we ask of God, Lord, help me, lead me, guide me, teach me what your will is. Not my will, but thine be done. So teaching with authority. Again, as he said that, for they said to himself, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Why did he have authority? Because he came in the Father's name. Amen. He was the Son of God. Jesus Christ, amen, the Messiah, our Savior, the one who was going to be the propitiation, the mediator between us and God, the one who died on the cross of Calvary, amen, teaching us how that we should live in this life, how we should treat one another, and how that we should ask when we come to the Father. Again, I'll leave you with this. As our children ask, and I said it earlier, they ask sometimes knowing they're not going to receive something. But sometimes when they're persistent and they really make the case, this I really need this. You know, I know you said no, but here's the reason, you know, I really, really need this. And it's not because everybody else has one. It's because, you know, I really need this, you know. And they're persistent. And if it's in our ability, more times than not, we're going to give them their heart's desire. If their heart's desire is right. And they're not just wanting every little thing that they see. And I thought, Lord, when we come to you, it's a very serious matter. It's not a shopping list when we go before the Lord. Lord, I need this, 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 this. First of all, Lord, I need to be in your will. God, I want to be close to you. I want what you want me to have. Amen. And I want to be what you want me to be. And I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say the things that you want me to say. And sometimes that takes persistence, not only on the part of asking of God, but to get our spirit right. Amen, when we ask before God. And I believe there is a right way to ask before God. Ask believing, certainly, but also ask with the right spirit. Amen. No wonder he teaches with authority. And how many knows Jesus is still teaching today? He's teaching each and every day of my life. I'm still learning more and more and more about how to live for the Lord, how to serve him, how to lift him up, and how to praise and worship him. God bless you. We love you tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you. How many is blessed in the house tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand tonight? If you have a need, certainly we serve a God who is able. Amen. If you're sick, the Bible says, let him call for the elders of the church, praying.